Great to see everyone once again, and we're going to continue with our series on Birchas Kohanim, and today I want to talk about an interesting shaila about whether or not a Kohen that embarrasses someone in public, whether he may perform Birchas Kohanim. A strange shaila, but interesting lumdus in Halacha Lamaisa, that let's say a Kohen were to say something about someone in public, he embarrasses someone, calls him a name, and then the din is that He violates a serious violation of embarrassing someone. There's a question in halacha whether he now is disqualified from performing Birchas Kohanim ever again. Now, where in the world does such a halacha come from? So let's take a look at number one here. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol Kohen Sheharages HaNevesh, any Kohen who murders, Lo Yises Kapov, he is disqualified from performing the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. Why is he disqualified? So the Gemara invokes the pasuk Shenemar, Yedeichem damim malu. His hands are full of blood. And since a Kohen utilizes his fingers, his hands to give the bracha, and now he has got blood on his hands because he murdered someone, he's disqualified, he's pasul from performing Birchas Kohanim. So that's if a person murders, if a Kohen murders someone. Now by extension, what would the halacha be if a Kohen embarrasses someone? So we're familiar with the statement in the Gemara. It appears in Brachos, it appears in Masech HaSota. So the Gemara says, number two, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav. Amrila, others say, Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. And yet others quote in Amar Lei Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai the following statement, Noach lo la'adam sheyafil atmo l'toch kivshan ha'ish. It's better, it's preferable that a person throw himself into a furnace, ve'al yalbin p'nei chaver barabim lesti, and instead of embarrassing someone in public, how do we know that? How do we know better for a person to jump in the fire or to be thrown in the fire than embarrass someone? Minolan, how do we know? We're going to be reading in a couple weeks from now in the Parshios, mitamar shenemar ha'i mutas v'gomer, that Tamar refused to expose Yehuda as the father of her child. She did not want to embarrass Yehuda, and instead she chose to be thrown in the fire until finally the truth came out. So we learn from here that if one were to embarrass someone, it's the equivalent of murdering. So a person, you can't murder someone. A person needs to give up his life to avoid murdering someone else. So Tamar did not want to embarrass Yehuda. Tamar did not want to murder Yehuda. So she was thrown, or she opted to be thrown into the Aish. Now, even though in the end she did not, but that was the proper approach, not to embarrass someone in public, because it's considered like murder. So now the Kohen, if a Kohen embarrasses someone in public, it's like murdering that person. The reason why it's called Yalbin Pnei Chavero, whitening the person's face, because the red, the blood, leaves the cheeks, it leaves the face, and the person embarrassed is left white, he's left pale. It's as if you killed such an individual. So this Kohen who embarrassed someone just killed the person, and now he might be disqualified from performing Birchas Kohanim. As we said, Kol Kohen Shehareges HaNefesh Lo Yises Kapov. So is this a halacha that's true? Should we assume that such a Kohen should be disqualified? So let's go through two different pieces. We're having a fusion here between two different halachas. One is, how does halacha understand embarrassing someone in public? And number two is, how does that relate to a Kohen? Does it disqualify him? Let's first go through a few sources about understanding the idea of embarrassing someone in public, and then we'll come back to plug it in to the Kohen himself. So how serious do we take the statement that it's better that a person be thrown into the fire than embarrass someone? Is that really like murder when you embarrass someone in public? So the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in his Shari Tshuva, Shari Tshuva, those who don't know, was a sefer that Rabbeinu Yonah wrote as a form of kapara. Rabbeinu Yonah was very against the Rambam Sefer of Mishnah Torah. He was outspoken against him, and then he approved the burning of the Rambam Svarim, and then he realized afterwards the Christians said, wait, that's a great idea. Let's burn the Gemaras. So Rabbeinu Yonah understood he made a mistake by burning the Rambam Svarim, and he wanted to do kapara, some form of tshuva. Part of the tshuva process, Rabbeinu Yonah wrote the Sefer, the famous Sefer, Shari Tshuva, very important Sefer on Musar. So he goes through in one of the chapters all the different mitzvahs in the Torah. So he describes here number three the following. We know that the big three averos, the Shlosh Averos when it comes to Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raos, and Ritzicha. These three, one has to give up their life. Even if there's a gun to a person's head, that I'm going to kill you unless you violate Arayos, unless you violate Avodah Zarah, unless you violate murder, the din is you should give up your life and not to violate these three Averos. They're so severe, you should avoid. Now, these three Averos, how expansive are they? So when we say a person should not perform Avodah Zarah, well, there's something called Avak Avodah Zarah. Avak means dust Avodah Zarah. Not only is it also to do Avodah Zarah, but it's also to do anything that is an extension, a derivative of Avodah Zarah. What's an example of an Avodah Zarah that you can't do? That's only Avak Avodah Zarah. That's only the dust, an outgrowth. So the din is, he quotes from a Gemara in Pesachim. Those learning Daf Yomi will get there in around 3 weeks from today, Daf Chavhei. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes, I'm reading the underline now, B'chol misrapim micholi sheyesh bo sakanas nefashos. You're allowed to use any form of medicine if a person's dangerously ill. If a person is about to die, you could have him eat whatever is healthy for him, whatever is medicine, if it's made of pig, if it's made of this, made of that. Any isser, you could violate an isser for pikuach nefesh, with the exception of chutz me'atzei asherah. A person's not allowed to use a tree, wood, from an asherah tree. An asherah tree is a tree that was worshipped as a avodah zarah, so you can't get hanah from that asherah tree, even if the person is in the state of sakanas nefashos. Why not? What's wrong with that? That's not avodah zarah. To use that asherah tree, it's iser hanah, but that's not avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is when you bow down to the tree. But for me to take the tree to get hanah, that's not avodah zarah. So what's wrong? So Rabbeinu Yonah proves that even avak avodah zarah, even an outgrowth of avodah zarah, some extension is also subject to the iser of avodah zarah, and you have to give up your life. You have to give up your life and can't use it as any, even for medicinal purposes. Now the next case is Arayos. Gilei Raos is aser. A person must give up his life to avoid Gilei Raos. And even Avak Arayos, even an extension. What's an extension? So the example Rabbi Nayon brings is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. A person has a very strong desire for an Ashes Ish, a married woman, and the doctor says he, as long as he sees her not dressed, he'll be healed. So the din is, no, don't let him see. That's aser. Now, seeing something inappropriate is certainly a big iser, but that's not actual Gilei Raos, that's only Avak Arayos. But nonetheless, it's still aser. Person must give up his life to avoid even Avak Gilei Raos, even the extensions of Gilei Raos. And now the third and final example for us is Avak Ritzicha. This is the bold now. When it comes to the outgrowths, the extensions, the derivatives of murder, what's an extension of murder? Sejer ben Yonah, halbanas panim, embarrassing a person in public. Why? As I said before, ki panav yechavru, his face turns white. Vinos mar ha'oda odem, the blood, the redness, the leaves runs away from the face. You've just taken away his life. V'dom me'el ritzicha, it's similar to murder. So he says, avak ritzicha is halbanas panim, embarrassing a person. And a person says to Reuven, you either embarrass Shimon or I'm going to kill you. Rabbeinu Yonah says, better to be killed. Better to be to jump into their thrown into the Kibshon Ha'esh and not to embarrass a person in public. So this is a very, very serious matter, says Rabbeinu Yonah. It's real. It's one of the Gimel big three. It's an extension of a Kritzicha. So Tosas writes in Masecha Sota Daf Yudam Abeis. So how come, if you look at the last few lines of number four here, it says, Berabim Minal Midavid, so the word Venir. So if it's really true that Habanis Panim, embarrassing a person, is a person should give up his life, it's Yarog Vayavor. So you should be killed and not violate the Avera. So why is it not considered it should really be the big four? Says Tosos, Nira. Haidu lo chashuvle, why did they not consider Habanis Panim as the fourth big Avera? Behadish Shlosh Averos, along with the other three Averos. She'ein Omnim, Bifne Pukuach Nefesh. That the big three don't stand in the way of one's life. One must give up their life for the big three. So why don't they have a fourth one, Habanas Panim? Says Tosfos, Avodas Kochavim Gilei Raos Ushvichas Damim, Mishum Daveras Habanas Panim, the issue of embarrassing a person, Eino Mufureshes Betorah. There's no explicit pasuk. For lo nakit el Averos HaMufureshes. The Gemara only lists the three explicit Averos, Gilei Raos, Avodas Zarah, Ushvichas Damim. But Habanas Panim, granted, it's a big four. It's a fourth big Avera. And one must give up their life to avoid it. It's just not part of the list because it wasn't mefurish b'kro. So while Tosos thought Habanas Panim is a fourth avera, Rabbeinu Yonah felt it was part of the third one. It's in the category, under the rubric of Ritzicha, but they both agree that you would have to give up your life to avoid embarrassing someone in public. So according to Tosos, it's a separate isser. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's murder. It's murder. So what would happen if a Kohen were to embarrass someone in public? It's real murder. Now again, Tosos says it's not murder. It's a separate isser. It's a fourth isser. But for Rabbeinu Yonah, it's an extension of murder. What would the status be of such a Kohen who were to embarrass someone in public? So the Meiri comes along in number five. He says, you know what? This whole isser, Habanas Panim, better Noach L'Adam, Shiyah Pilatzma L'Toch Kivshin Ha'esh, better to be thrown into the fire and not to embarrass someone in public. Rabbeinu, the Meiri says, it's Derech Tzachas. It's meaning it's a figure of speech. It's not meant to be taken literally. It means it's a very serious matter to embarrass someone. You should throw yourself in the fire then to embarrass someone. But here he says, don't take it too seriously. It's just a matter of speaking to show you how grave an issur it is. But Lamaisa, then the Iri implies, if one were told that I'm going to kill Reuven if he doesn't embarrass someone in public, it's actually better to embarrass someone in public than to have take someone's own life. So the Meiri says that Habanas Panim is not really like murder. So it's not a question in the world of Meiri, to bring it back to our case, if a Kohen were to embarrass someone, not a problem. The Kohen just goes ahead, he continues to Birchas Kohen. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, yet again, who says this is a serious matter? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, embarrassing someone is like killing someone. What would the din be if a Kohen were to embarrass them? So now let's go to the halacha. We discussed for a few moments about the halacha of the nature of embarrassing someone in public. Let's now go talk about the issur of murder. When a Kohen murders someone, why he's disqualified, and then we're going to come bring it together, whether Habanas Panim will satisfy the criteria needed to disqualify a Kohen who murders someone. So we saw already above that a Kohen who murders, Kol Kohen Shaharigez HaNefesh Lo Yisas Kapov, shouldn't do Birchas Kohen. Now, the pasuk that's quoted is Yedeichem Damim Malu. His hands are full of blood. Now, how seriously do we take that pasuk? Is that a real drasha? Is it an esmachta? So if you look at number 6 here, Tosos Maseches Yevamos Daf Zayin Amun Aleph. I'm going to read just the bold. Tosos has two explanations of the isser of a Kohen who murders, why he can't do Birchas Kohen. The first answer, reading just the bold. V'lo yisas kapov, it's a chumra ba'alma. It's just a stringency. The truth is, Tosos says, the Kohen who murders is allowed to. He's allowed to do Birchas Kohen. Mikra din, he can. It's a chumra ba'alma, it's just inappropriate, we felt it was wrong, but it's a chumra. B'ikra din, such a Kohen can do Birchas Kohen. But the second answer, Tosis, he says, no, it's not a chumra. This is a real din. What's the din? He says there's a concept, ein kitegar nasa seneger, that the kitegar can't be a seneger. The one that committed the avera can't now come to defend you. This is an interesting halacha. As a side point, it's interesting to note where Shas and where Rishonim use the concept, ein kitegar nasa seneger. The classical case is where, when it comes to the shofar, from the parah, using the shofar of the parah of the cow, which reminds Hashem of the Egel Hazav. So one of the explanations the Gemara says, why can't you use it? Ein Kiteger, Nasa Sneger. You can't use the Egel Hazav, the Zikaron, the Egel Hazav, to now bring a kapara as a Zikaron, as a shofar. That's one example of the Gemara says, Ein Kiteger, Nasa Sneger. A second instance it's used is in the Gemara in Kedushim, when the Gemara talks about using a shtar and a kesef for Gittin and Kedushin. Could you use the same shtar? Could you use the same kesef? And the Gemara says, Ein Kiteger, Nasa Seneger. To use a shtar, to use a kesef for Gittin and kesef for Kedushin, you can't use the same money that performs Gittin also for Kedushin. That's the second place where Ein Kiteger, Nasa Seneger comes up. So there are a couple other instances where this does come up. I'll tell you another interesting place that the Divrei Yatziv, the Kloisenberger, talks about when giving a ring for a kesef kedushin to get married to a woman. So can you use gold? Can you use a gold coin? A gold ring, rather. And he invokes Ein Kiteger Nasa Seneger. It's inappropriate to use gold because it reminds us of the Ein Gazav, so maybe it should be wrong. But here Tosas uses it in another context. Tosas says, why can a Kohen who murdered perform Birchas Kohanim? because it's a real svara, ain kateger nasas neger. His hands, who had killed someone with his bare hands, or with a gun, or with a sword, those hands which murdered can't be the same hands through which a bracha is going to pass through. So it's not simply a chumra ba'alma. It's a real din of ain kateger nasas neger. So these 2 days in Tosos, is it derabanan, the reason why he can't do birchas kohanim? Or is it a din deraisa, a real din deraisa that one can't perform birchas kohanim? So the classic nafkamina that's always brought whenever something is a deraisa versus derabanan is what's the din if there's a suffix? Let's say a kohen, there's a suffix whether or not the kohen murdered someone. I don't know. There were a few shots that were fired. The kohen shot a gun and somebody else shot a gun, and there's no way to figure out whose gun it came from, where the bullet came from. That would perhaps be a case of a suffik kohen who murdered. So what would the din be? So if you assume it's a chumr ba'alma, that such a kohen can't perform birchas kohanim, so it's a suffik derabanan, we'd be makel, we'd let the kohen go ahead and do birchas kohanim. But if you assume a kohen who murders is based on ein kateger nasa seneger, it's a real svara, it's a real deraisa, then even in the case of a suffik, we would not allow the kohen to go ahead and perform birchas kohanim. Now, this is all true when it comes to kohen who murders b'mezid. He intentionally murders someone. But what would the din be if he accidentally murdered someone? So look how serious the halacha is. Look at number 8. The din in Shulchan Aruch here, number 8, found in the Nesias Kapayim. All the halachas that we're talking about, by the way, are all found in a very long siman, siman Kuf Chaf Ches. If you have Mishabura, it's the first siman in Chelek Beis and Mishabura, a very long siman. So the Mechaber makes it very clear. Kohen shaharig es nefesh. A kohen that murders, afilu b'shogeg. Even if it's accidental, lo yisas kapav, he cannot do birchas kohanim, afilu asa tshuva. You hear that? That's a pretty scary thing. Even if the kohen does tshuva, he does all the alchets, he asks forgiveness from the family, he does whatever he needs to do for tshuva. Even if he does tshuva, he's not allowed to. His hands, his fingers are contaminated forever. Until the day he dies, he's not allowed to perform birchas kohanim. A very sad reality, even if he was done b'shogeg. That's a very serious thing. We rarely do have a case where a person can't do tshuva. Even if he does tshuva, he is disqualified. Now, we do take comfort in the position of the Ramah. Ramah says, Haga, v'yesh omrim, dim asa tshuva, no sikapav. No, there are those who say, if he does tshuva, he could do nesias kapayim. Now, this is a very, very interesting machlokas, what tshuva does to a person. As a side point, you know, one simple understanding is, how much does a person transform through doing tshuva? So according to Mechaber, he doesn't transform. It's the same exact person. Maybe he changes something above, he got rid of his averos, he got some kapara, but he's the same Reuven before as he is now. And that Reuven, his fingers are contaminated, has blood on his hands, he can't change what happened. You could change perhaps the ruchnius of the individual, but the murder, you can't change the murder. But according to Ramah, who holds that if you do tshuva, he could go ahead and do birchas kohanim, he perhaps assumes that when a person does tshuva, he's no longer Reuven. He's a new person. He's a Shimon now. He has the same name, but it's a complete new person, and everything is a reset, a clean slate, and go ahead and do whatever you were doing before the murder took place. So that's a real interesting machlokas. How far do we take tshuva? Does tshuva really transform a person? How do we paskim? Ramah says, v'yesh lahakel al bal tshuva. We should be leaning for the bal tshuva. Shlo linol delas bifnem. We don't want to lock the door in front of them. V'hachi nog, that's the practice. We want to give the option for people to come back to Yiddishkeit. To tell them that, listen, if you're going to do tshuva, you still can't go duchen. The guy's going to say, forget about it. I'm leaving. I'm not interested. We want to give people the options, and therefore we have a lot of kulas. I'll tell you an interesting shaila I just asked. I hope I don't want to give too many details. It's a private shaila. But someone was asked about the situation where a client of his was involved in some serious matter, some serious offense, was in jail for a number of years, and the person was born a Jew, and he converted to Christianity. And actually, that wasn't the question I wanted to share with you. Let's do a different one. I'm sorry. I'm going to do a different shiloh. Okay, this one's not as touchy, not as sensitive. Someone asked me the following shiloh. The person, when he was in high school, when he was in yeshiva, he somehow stole money from the yeshiva. Okay, he stole money from the yeshiva. I don't know how, but he stole money. He now, he's become a Baal Tshuva. He went to Eretz Yisrael for the year. He realized what he did was wrong, and he's doing Al Chetz. Now he wants to return the money. But he's afraid that if he tells the school that he stole money, So it's embarrassing for him. You know, it's very embarrassing. And he wants to know if he could just donate money to the yeshiva in order to avoid the embarrassment. He'll pay back all the money that he stole. But does he have to tell them that he's paying them back for that which is stolen? So it's an interesting shaila. But oftentimes when it comes to tshuva, we say, shelot linol delas b'fneim. If I told the guy that, listen, you have to be up front with the principal and tell them you stole, and this is how much you stole, he might say, you know what? I'm not going to share. I'm not going to tell them. And he might not be able to do a full tshuva. So sometimes you have leniencies to say, you know what? We don't want to lock you out. We want to give you the opportunity. So go ahead, pay the money, donate online, and you'll have a clean slate. So here as well, the Ramah says, if we told the Kohen, your tshuva is not going to work, you can't do Birchas Kohanim, he's going to say, you know what? I'm not interested. And he won't do tshuva. So we're very, very lenient. But either way, you see how severe the murder is. That Mikra Adin, the guy murdered Bershogeg, and he did tshuva? He's not allowed to do Birchas Kohanim according to the letter of the law. So it's a very serious matter. And the Mishnah Berurah says, what happens if the guy is onus? What happens if the guy was forced to murder? So a guy comes to Reuven, puts a gun to Reuven's head and says, Reuven, I want you to kill Shimon. The din is, Shimon should not kill Reuven. Reuven should not kill Shimon. Reuven said, take my life. I'm not killing Shimon. But let's say Reuven says he couldn't take the pressure. Reuven ended up killing Shimon because he was under the gun. He killed Shimon. He shouldn't have done that. The Mishnah Berurah says, in that instance, since it was against his will, even though he made the wrong decision, but it's still onus, he actually would be allowed to do Birchas Kohanim. Look at the Mishnah Berurah number 9. Afilu b'shogeg, vim ansuhu laharog noses kapov. If he was forced to murder someone, he's actually allowed to continue doing Birchas Kohanim. V'af agav, even though d'beritzicha kaimlan yaharog v'yavor, even though the din should have been, he should have been killed, as opposed to killing Shimon, nonetheless, even though he did the wrong thing, it's not going to disqualify him. So let me ask you about the following interesting shaila. What happens if a person is a soldier? He's in the army. It's certainly very common in Eretz Yisrael, right? All the Jews, they go through the army there, and they kill someone during battle. Or let's say they were in the army before Eretz Yisrael, before the creation of the State of Israel. They were in the Russian army, the Polish army, the French army, and they killed someone. A Kohen was a soldier, and he killed someone. What would the din be? Would he be disqualified from serving as a Kohen if he murdered in such a way? So Moshe has an interesting tshuva. There is, by the way, a discussion whether killing a non-Jew, whether that disqualifies a Kohen or not. That's two opinions in the Achronim. It depends on whether there's Tzel Melukim, perhaps, to a Nachri, or how much Tzel Melukim exists by a Nachri. But let's just talk about a soldier who murders in the course of a battle. So Moshe writes here, number 11, Tshuvos Igros Moshe Yardeya Chelek Bey Simen Kuf Nun Ches. And he says that, I'm going to just read quickly outside, we only have a few minutes left with each other, but he says, since a person was taken into the army, it's Pashut, Moshe writes, that he's allowed to serve as a perform Birchas Kohanim. Because he was forced into doing so. We just saw above, if a guy is forced to kill someone, that's murder, that's a murder, that's not going to disqualify him from Birchas Kohanim. So when a guy is obligated to be part of the army, he can't avoid the draft, he needs to go in, he's forced in being a soldier, he's forced in pulling the trigger, he's forced in pulling the trigger of the gun, of the tank, and therefore, since he's onus, it's not going to disqualify him. And not only that, says Ramosha, not only is he forced, but he's actually, in the last two lines of Ramosha, he says he's actually mechuyev leilech letzava. He's obligated to go to the army. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid the draft. Kedin malchus v'lo'asa shum iser. When the government says you must go to the army, you can't avoid the draft, you have an obligation. Dina to malchusa dina. You must follow the rules of the government. And therefore, even if he does kill someone during war, during battle, he's allowed to go ahead and perform Birchas Kohanim. So these are exceptions. So again, if a Kohen murders bemated, if a Kohen murders b'shogeg, so then he is a apostle from doing Birchas Kohanim. If he murders be'onis, or if he's a soldier, then he's actually allowed to continue doing Birchas Kohanim. But what about our case? Let's return to our case. What if a Kohen embarrasses someone in public? What would the din be then? How much is it like murder? So we said, if you assume like the Meiri, that embarrassing isn't really like murder. It was just a very strong language that Chazal chose, but a person really should not give up his life to avoid embarrassing someone. It's not even a shiloh. Of course, a Kohen who embarrasses can perform Birchas Kohanim. The question was within Rabbeinu Yonah Shita, who said that embarrassing someone in public is an extension of murder. It's avak ritzicha. One would have to give up their life to avoid and not to avoid embarrassing someone. What would the din be? Can such a Kohen go ahead and do Birchas Kohanim. So if you look at Rav Osner, Shuvah Shevet Levi here, number 12, the second paragraph, reading just the bold. He says, Masha Kasav de Pasal Min Adin, Lisa Kapav Kirotzeach Mamish. He's responding to the questioner that said that one who embarrasses someone in public should be like murder and should be Pasal from Birchas Kohanim. Rav Osner writes, Lo Yira Lanias Daiti. This does not appear to be correct. The Lomi boy, needless to say, Beteretz Kama, the first answer of Tosos, who holds that simply a Chumr Ba'alma, not to do Birchas Kohanim. So it's Pashit, the Lo Yisa Rotzeach Kapav Chumr Ba'alma. It's a stringency. And the Min Adin, but Mik Adin, Afilu Rotzeach Kashal Avoda. A real murderer is actually allowed to do the Avoda, he's actually allowed to do Birchas Kohanim. So certainly, Minolan Lahachmir Bimalbin Pnei Chavero. Where do you get the point that you should be more stringent by embarrassing someone in public? So if the whole Isser of a murderer not doing Birchas Kohanim is simply a Chumrah, it's not a Shaila. It's a Davar Pashit that such a Kohen who embarrasses someone can do Birchas Kohanim. But he says, even according to opinion of Tosos, that says, Ein Kateger Nasa Seneger, that's a real Din Daraisa, that his fingers and hands that murdered cannot do Birchas Kohanim, Rav Osner says it's only true when he murdered with his hands, with his bare hands, holding a sword, a knife, a gun. But this individual who only, at worst, embarrassed with his mouth by embarrassing the person saying something inappropriate, something insulting in public, that is not a murder in the hands, and therefore you cannot apply the din of Ein Kateger Nasa Senegra. So even if you want to grant Rabbeinu Yonah that embarrassing someone is considered like murder, it's a different form of murder. It's not murder with the hands, it's murder with the pet. Now certainly it's something a person should not do, it's a real serious isser. But in the end of the day, the psak is, it will not disqualify him from doing Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so it's great to see everyone. I hope everyone enjoys their Thanksgiving day tomorrow, whether it's being spent with the family in person or family on Zoom or whatever it is. But either way, I hope you enjoy it and hope to see you guys next week in Yirtzeh Hashem.
Looking forward. Thank you so much. Yasher Koach.
My pleasure, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
It's wonderful to see everybody, Rabbi. It's Erev Yom Tov. It's wonderful. It's one.